I remember every little thing. The high, the hurt, the shine, the sting. Every little thing. Oh, I remember every little thing.
Hey, this is Carly Pierce, and I'm hanging out with my favorite guy, Donald Jenkins, on his show, Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey, we are now recording, so anything that you say can and will be used against you or for you. I don't know. I mean, it didn't always have to be negative, right? Sometimes don't you wish like there was recording on you at all times because you're like, God, that was really good.
Sometimes for song ideas and things that I can't remember in the middle of the night. If you, like, no.
All right, look, that's only because you are a liability. You are. But
I would say an asset.
Okay. Well.
That can sometimes turn controversial.
Well.
Spin that one.
Super sick Kevin McCarty. I would love to have a recorder on you at all times, but there's just times where I'm like, God, that was really good. I hope I remember it. And as a songwriter, I've heard people say that. Do you have to write, you have ideas, do you have to write it down, or are you one of those songwriters that, well, if it sticks with me, I know it's good?
Oh no, I have to write it down because I feel like I always get them in the middle of the night and I never remember them, even though I always tell myself that I'm going to remember. I don't.
Really?
No.
What do you think middle of the night? Like, why is that your most creative time? Do you dream a lot?
No, not at all. I never dream. Really? I don't know why, but I'll wake up and have
a
melody.
Do you have dreams? You know, in life.
I do have dreams in life. Maybe I just...
Dreams. Just conscious dreams.
Maybe there's just like so many dreams on a like daily basis that like I can't.
Like you
I
don't
can't
even,
dream anymore.
You don't have
I just
a
shut
room.
Down.
That's right. Yeah,
it's over. Power off.
Well, if I can.
Please.
There is actually a product that a good buddy from Cincinnati has created that will constantly listen to everything that you're saying, that we're all saying.
Oh, no.
And if you tap it, it'll send the last 60 seconds to your phone.
Stop.
Promise you. So I can...
As an extrovert, that's just not healthy.
Right. But here's the thing. What you're needing, this is solving for, but only for this capacity. Like, general life, absolutely not.
Right.
But for this, like, if you wake up and say something, it'll capture the last 60 seconds.
I need that because I don't want to get out of bed and like get my phone.
Yeah. Well, I guess it just depends on who. I know right now it's going to start out where it's going to send it to you and only you can hear it. But you know somebody's going to hack that thing. And before you know it, I'm going to run for public office and then they're going to find this hot mic, you know, and it's done.
Well, I don't know. I plug it. So it's called Capture.
Right.
Okay. So maybe he can help us out and maybe send you one.
I might need one.
All right, let's get started. I mean, we could ramble like this for hours. If you can't tell, me and Kevin, we have a hard time opening up people skills. We're working on it, Carly, but...
I have faith that it's going to be all right.
Listen, I'm just saying, well, you got thrown in. I don't know what Christina said before, but she was like, you need to come on, and I don't know if she forewarned you, but I hope you have no expectations, right?
And I'm in the middle.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
The literal middle.
Yeah, you are. But just look this way. He's fine. He's fine.
That's just rude.
I know. Hey guys, it's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Thanks for tuning in. Fired up today, excited. Carly Pierce, I'm a little intimidated, a little nervous. I prepared more for this than I have any other episode, which is really not saying much because I'm never prepared for an episode.
But you did a little. That's sweet.
So the fact that I actually did a little is saying something. But very excited when Christina, a couple of weeks ago, she was like, hey, I want to get Carly on there. And I was like, Ab, please. And she can attest to this. I actually texted her a couple of times to remind her. Can we? Because I know not only are you already kind of big, like you're really blowing up, and I knew I wouldn't get you in here. Let's be honest.
Stop it.
In like one more week, you're going to be like seriously untouchable. And hey, this is a good thing. And it's kind of sad, but it's true. So I'm excited for you, though. Thanks for coming.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Carly, I want to know your story because I think a lot of people already know you and know your music, which is awesome. We're going to get to that. But this is not your normal, you know, radio interview. First of all, I'm not in music and I'm not in radio. But I, you know, because you've been on the Stormy Warren show and all those really big stations, it's like, is this good? Is this not good? Like, as far as what I'm doing right now, is this amateur?
No, you're doing a great job.
Okay.
You can compete.
All right, perfect. Well, other than that, I don't want to know what they do because I don't necessarily want to. I love what those guys do.
Mm-hmm.
I just never consider myself like a radio host. Mm-hmm. So I'm a storyteller.
Love it.
And I love stories.
Me too.
And I love music.
Me too.
I love people that are really passionate about something and pursue it. Mm-hmm. So I've always told people I'm passionate about passion. So mm-hmm. even if your passion's not music, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'll tell your story because, you know, I'm just people when they're passionate about something, there's really nothing that can stop them. And so I want to hear your story start to finish. You're originally from Kentucky, right?
Yes. I grew up in Northern Kentucky in a town called Taylor Mill.
Okay.
And big town? Really small. There's like 5,000 people or 6,000.
Okay.
My high school had 83, I think, as the total? Graduating class.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, in my graduating class. I always knew I wanted to sing. I come from a family of music lovers, but my parents listened to more Southern rock and Fleetwood Mac and Eagles and things like that. But I was told that the only thing that would keep me from crying as a baby was country music.
Oh, wow.
And at first, my mom was a little upset about that.
Wait, that would keep you from
keep
crying?
Keep me from crying.
Oh, okay.
Was country. From the time I was 5 years old, there's videos of me saying I wanted to sing on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
So it's always just been in my blood that I wanted to do this. When I was 8, I started kind of singing in local contests and talent shows at school. And so everybody just knew I was the singer. When I was 11, I got approached. Bluegrass is really big in Kentucky. And so I got approached to front a bluegrass band. And I did that
the ripe old age 16. Of 11.
Right. And my parents were like, wait, are you sure that you want her to do that? And I did every little small town festival, fair, church service, sang at an all boys prison when I was 14. Really some wow. crazy stuff. But I feel like it really made me also know that I wanted to be on stage.
Yeah.
So I had gone.
That's a lot of stages that like you. There's probably not too many atmospheres you walk in and don't have, oh, I got this.
I feel like I was exposed to a lot at a young age.
If you play it at an all boys prison as a
14.
I mean, there's a lot.
I can handle, right?
Okay, you got
I can handle.
Hey, you can handle us.
I can
How was that approached to you?
The band that I was in, they were called One Iota. He got a gig. I guess that prisons bring music in for...
Sure.
The inmates. And honestly, it was one of the most fun, passionate crowds I'd ever played for.
I don't know.
They loved it. They really, it was nothing like I expected it to be, but it was interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. My third prison did that.
No, yeah. <I'm>
Maybe you were there. I don't know.
It was a great show.
That's awesome. Oh gosh. So that's, you know, you're already like well into your career at 14 years old.
Right?
So where do you go from there?
I had always gone to a public school, and when I finished my freshman year of high school, I came home, and I'm an only child, and I came home to my dad, and I said, Dad, I really want to quit high school, and if you'll give me the summer to find a homeschooling program that will get me into a college, I would like to do that. And he kind of looked at me, and he was like, no. And I said, please just let me see what I can find. And I don't think that my dad thought I was really going to do it. And so I present him like a month later with this college that I found online that they wouldn't have to help me. I mean, it was pretty much just everything online, and they let me do it. And
you're pretty convincing then, or were you just,
I just don't think that he was so shocked that I went through the trouble to do it that he was just like, okay, fine. And
okay.
They knew I mean, there was never a day that I didn't want to sing.
Right.
And he knew that I would still be learning, you know, I can get to my dad.
I was about to say, you're daddy's girl. I'm pretty sure you do it.
He wasn't going to say no. And so I saw an audition for Dollywood. And so those of you who don't know what Dollywood is, it's Dolly Parton's theme park.
Yes.
And they were holding auditions for the country shows to be a singer. And so at 16, I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. I want to go. So I auditioned in Cincinnati and ended up getting a job in a show called Country Crossroads, I know, Cincinnati, at the Aronoff is where I auditioned.
Ah, very nice.
And my mom and I moved into a one-bedroom, grizzly bear-decorated condo, and I worked at Dollywood for a year and did 6 shows a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And did schooling in between. And
6 shows a day?
Mm-hmm.
How long were the shows?
They're like 45 minutes. It was I really did work 9 to 5 for Dolly.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was...
Did you love it though? Was it work to you, or was it
No, it was the most fun. I learned so much about like being on stage, how to sing sick, what it means to put on the, you know, a show, no matter how many shows you've done for that day, no matter how hot. And I just think it was like really valuable for my age. I was working with everybody who I was the youngest by a lot. And, it was one of the most fun years of my life. And so then I moved, I saw there was a theater in Pigeon Forge called Country Tonight, and it was like the prime theater, and you got to be on all the billboards if you were one of the two female singers. And I was like, I want to do that show. And so I auditioned and ended up getting one of those roles, and we did two shows a day, 7 days a week. We had one day off a month, and they were 2.5 hour long shows, and I had 14 costume changes per show.
Oh my God.
But that one was just like a step up from what I was doing at Dollywood. And I just felt like, again, you know, it was more Carly instead of me with an ensemble.
Right.
Like it was at Dollywood. And I knew I wanted to move to Nashville. And I've always just kind of, if you can't tell, I'm kind of dumb, kind of fearless, kind of naive. And
at no point in time am I going to
slightly
affirm,
dumb, right?
Well, I'm not going to affirm. Yes, Carly, you are totally
dumb. You're slightly dumb.
I agree on all three.
Yes, you're right. No, come
maybe
on.
Call it naive and call it driven.
Yeah, for sure.
So MySpace, y'all remember MySpace?
Oh,
I mean,
are you still on there?
I don't want to confirm that because that would then again show my age again. So
I started looking up songwriters because I had written some like as a kid and in as a teenager, and started looking up songwriters that lived in Nashville but were from Kentucky that had written some of the songs that I loved. Ran across this guy who was a songwriter. He wrote a couple things that I really loved from Leon Womack and Eric Church. And so I just messaged him, and he kind of helped me when I first moved. I moved to Nashville at 19 after that year at Country Tonight. And he kind of helped me to get introduced into the industry at 19. And really ever since, I've just been hustling really hard. You know, I had a developmental record deal in 2012 that ended up not happening, and had a publishing deal then, and kind of was on the fast track and thought it was going to be the time, you know, that my music was going to come out and everybody's going to hear me. But, you know, at that time, females were not on the radio at all. And it was kind of an interesting time in the industry for girls wanting to be heard in general, because nobody was really getting any traction with that. And so after that deal, I nannied and cleaned Airbnbs, and that was super fun. But, yes, you know, I always knew that I was going to make it happen no matter how long it took. No plan, you know?
Hey, you know my tagline is making it happen.
Making it happen. I was trying to make it happen.
You are making it happen.
Cleaning those toilets, thought,
like,
making it happen.
You plug that and you like text her like, say my tagline.
No.
Like,
and here's the thing.
The episode.
For as many years, no. For many, it always comes up. So I was told back in the day that in order for you to really do because let's be honest, music, speaking, anything, it's kind of vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I still can't songwrite. I mean, I can write a talk all day. Well, for one, I can't sing. But two, it's like really vulnerable. But somebody once told me that we're like, and this is kind of a piece of advice that I've taken. They're like, Donald, if you're not embarrassed in 3 months by what you do today, then you waited too late. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like permission to suck. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that you say that, because I knew when I came up with Making It Happen, that was the name of my YouTube series. When I went out, I was like, well, in 3 months, I'm going to be really embarrassed by this. And I'll tell you, 3-4 years later, it's Making It Happen, and I'm still not embarrassed by it. Like,
you shouldn't
people
be.
Still say it. Like, you know, usually you come up with something, you're like, that was really kind of cheesy, mm-hmm. you know, but Making It Happen, it just makes sense. It's fun to say, but it's really for people that really are making it happen.
Right.
It's like, it's the only way to, it's the only way to describe it. Mm-hmm. I mean, your story alone, it's taking you a couple of minutes to tell, but this is years.
Yeah.
Years.
I mean, it's a lifetime.
It
for
sounds
sure.
like, oh, well, it just went through so linear and it's always got, this was years of your life, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of hard work, a mm-hmm. Lot of ups, a lot of downs. Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest part sometimes, and when I'm even hearing, maybe you can confirm, was like, you have those successes where you think it's about to take off and then it kind of doesn't. Uh-huh. And that's probably almost harder sometimes than just hearing no initially.
Oh, for sure.
You know? Yeah. So how does it happen where you have the pub deal and the record deal and you know, it doesn't work out? Like, now you're at this crossroads, right? And then so mentally, what does that do to you in your career?
I always describe it as like a dog that had a treat in front of its face, and you were smelling the treat and then they just took it away from you. And that's kind of how I felt in 2012. I was like, oh my gosh, like how could I How could God lead me down this road and tee me up straight for success and then take it all away?
Right.
And so I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And so I put my head down. I got a couple jobs and recorded a project on my own, started taking meetings. In that process, I kind of opened my brain to, I think for a long time, there was only one way I was going to get there. And it was going to be on my terms and my way. And I opened myself up to my path may zigzag, my path may spin around, who knows, but the end goal is still there. And I'm just going to say yes to whatever opportunities come. So I got a call to be in a music video for Lucy Hale. And she, for those of you who may not know her name, she is Aria on the Pretty Little Liars TV show.
Yeah.
So she's a really big actress that was kind of a singer for a minute. And I went and was her backup singer in her music video, went over another one of those moments of like being naive, walked over to her tour manager. And I was like, if you ever need a backup singer, let me know. Why would they need a backup singer? Like somebody else on their payroll. That usually doesn't happen. Yeah. A week later I was nannying and got a call and they were like, can you come out to LA for 3.5 weeks and do the Ellen show with us and an iHeart radio show and all this stuff? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes.
So I don't know. I have a couple places I need to clean.
I have a couple toilets that need to be cleaned. I'll get back to you. Yeah. I literally like told the name. I was like, I have to go.
Yeah.
And I remember being on that plane and thinking to myself, maybe I'm meant to use my voice in a different way that I didn't think.
Oh, okay.
And I decided I wasn't going to tell her that I was an artist. I was there to work for her. And the first day of rehearsals that night, she came back the next morning and she looked at me and she goes, why are you here? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I YouTubed you last night. Why are you singing backup for me? And that period of time, again, I feel like I've gotten to do so many things that a lot of artists that haven't been put out publicly yet don't get to experience, from being on TV shows, being kind of behind the scenes, watching radio, doing all of those kind of things. And she really helped to make her fans aware of me just out of the kindness of her heart. She's a dear friend of mine and just really wanted people to hear my music. And you'll hear as my story evolves other artists, female yeah. artists that have just like really wrapped their arms around me and believed in me. And I'm so thankful for that. So, you know, my social media started to grow and ended up SiriusXM took a song called Blame the Whiskey and started playing it. And that just kind of helped to get me back on track and feel like my purpose again for music. And I signed with BMG Publishing in 2015, and Busby, he's a producer. He produced Maren Morris's record, and he wrote Florida Georgia Line's Holy. He works with Keith Urban. He's doing the new Lady A record and he's killing it. And he wanted to work with me. And I felt like I had so much experience and, again, was so thankful in hindsight that the 2012 situation didn't work out for me, because I had grown as a person, grown as an artist, grown as a writer, and finally had the team that I felt like was going to help me to connect dots. And ended up just, again, I feel like something about me is fearless, and I started to make connections with CMT, started to make connections with Opry, and they've become dear friends, and XM, and all of these kind of avenues that a lot of people don't get personal relationships with have become like family for me and yeah. have championed me and kind of helped me along the way. And in 2015, I got to sing on the Opry for the first time. And that was like the greatest thing of my life. It really was like the one moment as a child that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And since then I've played.
You've done it
27 times. And it's like a second family to me. And again, with CMT being a part of the Next Women of Country and all of these things that I felt like were kind of getting me ready for what I'm doing now and kind of this new phase of my life, I feel like I have to back up, because I also got this opportunity. Again, these things that just come to me and I say yes. The Josh Abbott Band, they're a Texas-based band.
Yep.
And they have a huge following that I didn't really know anything about Texas country. And he saw me play at a thing in Nashville called Whiskey Jam. Have you ever been?
Come on, girl.
You've been there, right?
The Whiskey Jam?
Come on.
You've been to Whiskey Jam.
Every Monday.
Hey,
Do you know who we are?
I feel like I know that he's been to Whiskey Joe.
Oh my gosh. He's only been here a year. He's a baby. But yes, he's been there every Monday since he's been here.
unless I'm traveling.
Unless you're traveling. Okay.
That's true.
So I was playing one night at Whiskey Jam and Josh Abbott was there and ended up sending me a direct message on Twitter and was like, I really love your music. Will you send me some songs? I was like, sure. And I knew who he was because of Casey Musgraves, but I still didn't understand the Texas thing. And so fast forward a couple years, he messaged me in like, I don't know, probably 3 years ago. Fast forward to last year, he messaged me and he was like, hey, I have this song and I think you're the right voice for it. I was like, okay. So he sends me the song and I knew the song because a couple of my songwriter friends had written it.
Yeah.
And it was called Wasn't That Drunk. And I recorded it. They ended up loving it. And the first time that I met him was I jumped on their bus. I flew to Houston to do a week-long run with them and we had never sang it together and we had never met. And I just jumped on their bus and they've become like second family to me. Just from a touring aspect, again, getting to go into radio stations and promote a song that like you're attached to, but it's not Carly Pierce.
Yeah.
And just soaking in all that information and getting to be on the road. He let me open so many shows for him and just really embraced me. And, his fan base has been great to me. And, we got to do Jimmy Kimmel and play the song. And
yeah. Wow.
So it's just, again, all of these things that I'm like a sponge. I just soak it in. I'm like, okay, well.
All right, hold on. Wait, I got so much here.
It's so good.
It's so good. And it's hard to interrupt, yeah. But there's a lot here.
There's so, I feel like I have to tell all the aspects.
No, and
context
thank
is
you.
Great.
Yeah. Golly. The first thing I kind of want to point out really and really ask, and I don't know, make sure I guess the rest of the audience here is the 2012 happens, you mm-hmm. lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, it was probably one of the best things,
it
right?
was the best thing that ever happened to me.
The best thing that you, that, but you couldn't see that at the time, right?
No.
And so I think, I don't know. I think if you hear anything right now, it's that like doors close and it's not the end of the world.
No.
It's just not even the end of a dream. It's just part of the process.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's easier, you know, to hear or mm-hmm. easier said than done. Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is why I love telling these types of stories, especially with you guys, because it's not a lack of talent, Carly. It's really not. I mean, you've been talented since 11, right? Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. have been a performer, you have experience and all this stuff, but yet, you know, your one shot that you think may just be your one shot and all of a sudden it's squandered. And now you're sitting here saying, that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like keep that in mind, I think, in any dream that you pursue, yeah. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
So much there. And not just in music, but like you're saying, the mental preparation for just being in the industry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's, if you don't believe in you and your artistry and what you have to say as an artist, 150%, you won't be able to survive because yeah. It is a hard town. It's not all about everybody can sing. There's amazing singers here. There's amazing writers here, amazing artists.
Right.
But it's very few get the opportunities, you know, and Jessie Alexander, she's a songwriter. She wrote The Climb for Miley Cyrus and she wrote Drink on It for Blake Shelton. She wrote I Will Drive My Truck for Luke, Lee Bryce. And I remember I was crying one day in I had a girls group and Kelsey Ballerini, that's how I met her, with our PRO company, ASCAP. And I was crying and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she looked at me and she was like, if you hang in here long enough, the town will give you something back. And I never forgot that. And I really believe that. If you put your head down and work and continue to fight, you'll get something back.
God, I think you just answered one of my three questions right there. Mm-hmm. So truly remember that one. That's awesome advice. And really, I want to make sure I don't forget this. So the other thing that I heard too was that if I don't have your number and I want to get in touch with you, I can DM you and you'll call me back something.
I'll DM you back.
I mean, because I know people direct message you and I know you don't respond to all of them. Well, so
let's give this a test.
So Chewy, make note of that.
Don't look at all the ones I mark on.
I'm just kidding. That's
so
awesome.
And here's two things that popped out for me. And I think it's, you've probably all seen that little infographic or picture, I guess is a better way to describe it, of like what success always is. And everybody thinks it's that from 11 till now, it's just that straight arrow up. And that's the one part. And then the other side is the one where it's like the squiggly lines, up and downs, rainstorms, lightning, and all those things. Have you guys seen that picture at all? Yeah. Like that's what was going through my head as you're describing that, which was a really cool thing to see that in play. I think the other part that I thought a lot about was where a lot of people kind of just say, I'm going to keep doing what I think I need to be doing and not allow for other opportunities or other things come in. And I just say, no, this is my dream. I'm going to go get it, which is awesome. But I think that one part of maybe I need to take a second and think of maybe God wants me to do something else for a little bit.
You said like maybe use my voice in a different way.
In a different mm-hmm. way.
That's right? Kind of how you said it. As a backup singer, which wasn't your original dream.
No, it was very interesting to be on the stage. And that was the interesting thing. I was on the stage, but I wasn't behind the center mic.
Right.
And I remember I would always sound check her mic for her at night before the shows. And I would just be like, one day I'm going to do, like, this is going to be me. This is just a period of time for me to grow and learn. And I was part of a band, which was interesting and different, but she leaned on me for different things and they became like family. And I really did enjoy that time in my life and feel like I got a lot out of it, but it certainly was not what I wanted to be doing. But I found it beneficial and I actually really had a good time.
And so many doors opened up from that opportunity.
If I wouldn't have said yes to that.
Right. Who would you have not met? Who would you have not?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. Might still be cleaning Airbnbs. I don't know.
But I think that's why I find it so incredible is just like most people, and I'm generalizing here, most people would be like, no, I've been front and center for a decade.
Yeah.
And now they're saying don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like it takes a lot of internal willpower, trust, faith, and just drive, like all of those things. And it's incredible to see that.
I had very, very influential, massive industry people tell me when I told them I was going to go and be her backup singer that was the worst thing I could ever do and that you will forever be labeled as a backup singer. And I didn't listen. And that's another thing that's hard to do. But if you just trust your gut, I think the majority of the time, you know what's best. And
wow. What a story. I mean, I feel like we could cap... God, there's a lot of things we could talk about that and we could have a 2-hour show here. But you've answered a lot. I do want to make sure I get to these certain questions. Mm-hmm. And I ask all my guests this, and I know you've answered one of them already, but maybe you have more. We'll take them. At the end of the day, we'll have an hour show. It's my show. There's no rules. So these three questions, if you could, and I don't know if you drink coffee at 11, because I'm pretty sure that's when you started real, you know, maybe it was 16 when you're like, no, music's full time for me. Cause not many people at 16 go home. I mean, a lot of kids go home and go, mom, dad, I want to quit school.
Right.
I mean, a lot of kids do that, you know, but they don't come with like a plan of here's a homeschool. Here's what I'm going to do. You knew. And I was always envious of a lot of my musician friends, which is before I kind of started 3 or 4 years ago, building like my own kind of brand. But I was envious of my music friends who, even if they weren't in their own mind as successful as they wanted to be, at least they knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you knew that at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Music was it, right? And so that's awesome. But if you could go back now and have coffee with yourself, like right when you started music, knowing what you know now, is there anything you would tell yourself? How much would you tell? Is there any one thing?
You know, it's interesting. I see a lot of students at Belmont, just around town that I know are artists or I meet, and I look at them and I go, oh my gosh, if I could only go back to that. And I think I would just tell myself to trust, to not let people's opinions and what's in, quote unquote, fades. And I think the minute that I started to really put my head down and work hard and also be 100% authentic to me and surround myself with the people that built me up instead of trying to change me or tear me down. And when I really understood that this is a business, this is the music business, and there are hundreds of people, probably thousands of people that talent-wise are better than me, as good as me, doing, you know, very similar things to me. But if you treat it as a business and work harder than anybody, and stay true to you, I think I could have saved myself a lot of tears and a lot of just not letting, just letting things roll off and knowing that I'm going to get there one way or the other.
Well, it's great advice. And then at the same time, it's kind of why you are where you are. Because a lot of those tears and lessons. So,
Know,
it's funny. Like, Kel Dodd said it this way. You know, Kel?
I do.
He's like one of my favorite people.
He's great.
Why is it so hard, by the way, to be true to yourself? He says that it's like some of the most profound advice you ever hear. Kel says, do you until you is what they want. And it was like, oh my gosh, I don't crochet, but if I did, I would crochet that and put it on my refrigerator. But it's so hard to be just you. Isn't it?
I love that. It is hard to be you.
It's doesn't sound hard, but it is.
It's like you're, nobody else can recreate. I don't know. Just trusting that what you do is valuable here sometimes is hard. But at the end of the day, when you're laying in bed, you know.
Yeah.
And so just carrying that mindset and that like strength is
That's awesome.
Important.
Well, you've already given so many pieces of advice that other people have given you, and you may want to just capitalize or say the same thing, but what's the best piece of advice someone else has ever given you that you just kind of live by, whether it's in music or just in life?
Obviously, from a musical standpoint, what Jesse Alexander told me of just hanging in here, but I just think staying humble and staying true to you and work harder than anybody else.
Yeah.
Because everybody's, I don't know, just especially in the music industry and probably in business in general, there's always somebody that's right on your tail that is just as talented or more talented and just always have that fire to outwork everybody.
Yeah. And then if, you know, we go way back, Carly.
So back.
You know, I feel like I know everything about you. Not everybody that's listening does, though. Mm-hmm. So for the audience, if you could finish this statement. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you really knew me, though, Donald, if you really knew me, mm-hmm. you would know.
That I love to cook.
Okay.
I love to
We
can.
Got a kitchen right here. Oh, wait a minute.
I'm slightly 105 and I love red wine.
These are all good things. And you're single?
I am. So single. Yeah.
Do you have plans Friday night?
Let's go.
Cook, can drink wine, and I'll DM you later. I hope you DM me back.
I might.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I don't know if most people know. I know what canning is, but I bet there's a lot of people who don't like, where did canning come from? Is this something you and like your mom did growing up?
My grandparents did it.
Okay.
My mom kind of got me into it. But one Christmas we were talking about gifts and she was like, why don't we try to can some things? And we did. And it's just become something that I really enjoy.
Do you have a specialty?
I make a really good homemade peach pie. And so I can peaches and,
Yeah,
I can salsa, green beans.
Yeah.
So what about favorite meal to cook and favorite wine?
Ooh, cab all the way for wine. Ooh. You like how quick, anything. I like dry wine. You got any? I'll drink it right now.
Christina, open those doors right there.
As far as meals to cook, I like to cook all different stuff. Yeah. I feel like I make good Italian. Good chicken, all mm-hmm. different kinds of chicken, like rosemary chicken. And
it's great.
I live alone, so I try a lot of different things.
Well, if you ever need anybody to eat,
I always
you cook,
make too much. So okay. Well, come on
once
over.
Again, I'm only sitting here adding up the reasons why we should. Right? That's and it's on recording, so you can't say that you didn't agree.
It's true.
See
I did.
See
you have
works?
It right
yeah,
there.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Well, that's awesome. I know. So this is a favorite little segment of mine. It's called Nashville, We Have a Problem.
Love it.
And the reason being is because, you know, 90% of the music career is in between stages, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which when you're on stage, that's what you do. Like mm-hmm. you're most alive. It's almost the easy part because you are naturally, that's just a perform. But in this industry, most of your time is it getting from stage to stage, mm-hmm. which sometimes things can go wrong.
Oh, yes.
Right? And so I've heard some of the best stories of being on the road or just being out on a show, and Murphy's Law shows up. Murphy's Law always shows up. Mm-hmm. He showed up this morning with, you know, it does not matter. Murphy is going to show up. What can go wrong will go wrong.
Right.
Right.
So such a jerk.
I really want I almost want to just start an 800 line here for all my artist friends that anytime something goes wrong, they can call and go, Nashville, we have a problem.
That's amazing. You should so do it.
And then I want to record because honestly, they end up being really funny, but at the time they're not.
No. You know? Mm-mm.
So do you have any like of those stories where like this one time we were out?
I mean, you need to understand that as a female artist, I travel with all boys. And so it's like herding cats. And I love them dearly. They're some of my best friends. But when you try to get, you know, 3 to 5 males to travel, you know, drinking involved or, you know, just different things, it's interesting. And so I feel like, and they would kill me for this, but I always, I'm like, somebody has to stay awake because I travel in a van usually, which is always a good time. And, you know, you're traveling through the night, driving all night, and I'll always say, somebody has to not drink. Stay up with me because I'm going to drive. I always look at all of them at the end of the night, and I'm like, now.
Who didn't drink?
Who didn't drink? Oh, all of you drank. Okay, great. And they're like, oh, no, we'll stay awake. We'll stay awake. Within maybe 30 minutes, everybody's snoring. And I'm like, all right. Herding cats.
You know what would really add to this story? If it's not possible through the airwaves yet, but a 4D can you imagine the smell of the van? And I say that because you're one girl in the van with four dudes who've been drinking all night, and you can only really appreciate what she's talking about if you could just really open the van when you get to where you're going and then go.
People think it's super glamorous. Yeah. Right. Ladies, just think about that for a minute because it is. But you know what? It's so fun.
Right?
Some of the most fun times have been like I've been so delirious at like 4 a.m. and laughing hysterically at them and, you know, it's a good time, but.
And then when you get on stage, it's just worth it.
It is worth it. Yeah. But trying to find people, I always say when you're picking your band, think about those 23 hours that you're with them.
Yeah.
Cause I share hotel rooms with my boys. We are in a van together. We travel. Like you have to like each other and, you know, mesh well. And I've been really lucky to have band members that I love.
So do you have a nickname? Do they call you?
Do they call me anything? Oh my gosh.
Are you mom? Yeah.
No. No.
Not that you're the oldest, but like, all right, mom, stop.
No, I don't even know what they would call me.
She's just the Uber driver.
Pretty much.
Each show, she's the Uber driver.
That's true.
Oh, that's a lot of fun.
Like the worst thing, picking up 4 guys off of Broadway and be like, okay, let's go to Memphis.
The best is oh my God, I won't tell which ones of the band, but they, when they've really drank a lot, they make me stop at a gas station and get a gallon jug for them so that they can pee
because I
cannot stop that often.
Right.
And so we like to flash the light on them so that everybody knows. So when one gets up, I'm like, oh, you're out. Look, everybody can see you.
And this is so great. Things that guys have been doing for years.
Oh, yeah.
The funny part is that now you're the girl. Totally.
I'm the girl.
Yeah.
I've turned into a dude. I mean, it happened maybe
have
at 3 a.m.
Any accidents?
Oh, yeah. I'll slam on the brakes.
Okay. Yeah. On purpose.
I mean, you know, you got to entertain yourself at 3 a.m.
That's right.
Stay awake.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. All the things I never thought I'd tell. Road stories with Carly Pierce.
Hey, this is not meant to be your every other radio
interview.
No, we want the good stuff.
This is the good stuff.
We want the Carly.
This is real life.
Perfect. Well, hey, exciting times now, right? It's... Can you talk about maybe the last couple of months of your life and everything that's going on right now? Because you have a song right now that's top 20.
Can we talk about the last 3 weeks? Because I put this song out I think this is the third week that it's been out.
Okay.
For those of you who listen to SiriusXM, The Highway, they do a thing every quarter called a highway find. And it's somebody that's unsigned that they believe in and believe in a song, and they kind of press it out and put it into heavy rotation and kind of get their, they call them the highway patrol, which are listeners, and they'll kind of weigh in on if they like it or not. And they watch the iTunes sales of the song. And that's kind of how Florida Georgia Line got started. That's how Old Dominion, Cole Swindell. So a lot of people have had success on there. And like I said, I've had a few songs on XM, but I'd never been a highway find. So 2.5 weeks ago, I became the highway find with a song called Every Little Thing, which by industry standards is totally not what you should put out as your first single. It's a ballad.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very bare produced. And it's a heartbreak song. So those are all things that, and I'm a female. So it's like.
That's strike four.
That's so, yeah. I mean, so many strikes. So many strikes. It's true.
Yeah. But you know what? Your story, like at the end of the day, is that's what it is. I think that's your equation for success now.
Yeah,
like,
I do too.
It's not supposed to make sense. I'm doing it.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. So they picked this song and it has had a mind of its own. The first day it came out, you know, I was talking about the females that have wrapped their arms around me. Kacey Musgraves, Maren Morris, Cam, Kelsey Ballerini, Lucy Hale, all tweeted about it, Instagrammed about it. Started to see the reaction on the social media, just even the texts in the industry that I was getting. It felt like something, I felt like this song was bigger than anything I'd ever done. And, you know, it has stayed in the top 30 on iTunes. As an unsigned artist, there's nobody that is in the top, from what I can see, because you know I'm looking, you know, top 50, even top 100 that yeah. don't have any label backing. And it's outselling the majority of the highway finds that they've had this year. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, didn't think that this was going to happen like this. Yeah. I love the song. It's very personal. It's about a what I call a big love that ended up really crushing me. And again, writing what I knew, kind of taking you on a ride of snapshots out of my personal story of living with a ghost and how you deal with that, because you can't tell your heart when it's time to let somebody go. Yeah. You kind of have to just live with it and figure it out and deal with it. And so this is probably one of the most honest personal songs. And just to see the reaction of, you know, again, country music is real life.
Yeah.
That I'm reminded of that even more.
It's an unbelievable song and obviously one that I think a lot of people connect with. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. And I don't know. I've been with a few friends and that have had that first song in the top 30 mm-hmm. and then it goes top 20. And I'll never forget the first time it broke the top 10 and having the conversation with them, like, dude, this thing might go number one. And even really just trying to, because it was just one of those stories where you've been here 8, 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, he was the same person. You're the same person, right? You have more experience, you have more, you know, skill set and all that good stuff. But like, it's just a surreal feeling now, right? It's like, wow.
Yeah. And just, it really is. I mean, and it makes me excited. It makes me, I think I appreciate what's happening more than I would have ever if I hadn't had some knocks yeah. and doors slam and nights alone crying with wine. but I think I just appreciate it more and it drives me to feel even more inspired for what's to come. And hopefully, you know, it won't just be the iTunes chart next year. Maybe it'll be the, you know, the Billboard chart and maybe who knows? I mean, right. I'm just, I feel the power of this, of it's reminding me that the power of a song and what that can do. I mean, bottom line.
Well, I can't wait, to hear you play it for us.
Yay.
But listen, I love who you are. I love your story. I love what you represent. And honestly, I was going to say that the appreciativeness, you can hear it. You know, it's not, I think you can tell a difference. There's people that have, when you first meet them and the only way I can really put my finger on it is just a genuine sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can tell the difference when somebody goes, oh, I'm just humble. And you know what I mean? And at the same time when you can feel it, regardless if you meet him in person or you just hear him over the airways, it's like, you know what? He's real. She's mm-hmm. real. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they connect with. And I'm excited for you. You definitely deserve it. And I think it's going to be really big. And I'm going to have it on recording. I always say this just because, not if, but like when you're above Taylor Swift, will you come back at some point?
Duh. Only if we can drink wine though.
Yes.
Do you, hey, do you see?
I see it all. Like, I see it up there.
We have bottles and bottles. I probably need to give a plug to my buddy. We're basically in One Hope Wine Studio right here.
That's what we can call it.
Yeah, it's One Hope Wine Studio. So my boy Brandon, who's upstairs, yeah, he's one of the co-founders of One Hope Wine. So we have plenty of wine. How's that?
Perfect.
Guess what? You know how many more guests I just got to come on the show right now?
Everybody's like, oh, wine? Cool.
Perfect. Hey, well, we're going to set up here real quick. But Carly, gosh, how can people find you and follow you? Not that they probably already haven't, but right now your social media is?
At Carly Pearce, CarlyPearce, on everything.
On everything.
So I'm Instagramming, Twittering, Snapchatting.
Is there anything that we should be looking forward to? What's coming up? Hey, come check this out. Just go check this out. Or
I'm getting ready in a couple weeks to join Kelsey Ballerini on her first headlining tour, the first time tour. So I'm gearing up for that.
That's great.
Super excited.
Hey.
That's going to be fun. And
you want to go to? We got to find a show.
Gotta go.
In, yeah. Like,
in December. You got to go. All right.
Is it in December? Where at? What's the closest one?
Houston and Dallas.
I like Texas.
You could come.
I like Texas.
Put your boots on.
Right? Texas.
Yeah.
Done. Hey, road trip.
Road trip.
Road trip.
It will be warmer.
It'll be warmer.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, thanks so much. We're about to, I can't wait to hear you play, but thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Let's do it again.
Yes.
Excited for you.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Hey, when you're ready, Carly, play us your favorite.
This is my current single on Sirius XM The Highway called Every Little Thing.
The scent that you left on my pillow, and the sound of your heartbeat with mine, the look in your eyes like a window, and the taste of your kiss soaked in wine. Every little thing, I remember every little thing. The high, the hurt, the shine, the sting of every little thing. I guess you forgot what you told me, because you left my heart on the floor. Oh, baby, your ghost still holds me, but I don't want to sleep with him no more. Every little thing, I remember every little thing. The high, the hurt, the shine, the sting of every little thing. Oh, I remember every little thing. The high, the hurt, the shine, the sting of every little thing. Oh, 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 oh. They say time is the only healer. Well, God, I hope that isn't right, 'cause right now I die to not remember every little thing. I remember every little thing. The high, the hurt, the shine, the sting of every little thing. Oh, I remember every little thing, and I'm haunted by the memories of every little thing. The high, the hurt, the shine, the sting, every little thing.
Wow. God, I love that song. That is, hey, for it to be a ballad and to be a true story.
Yeah.
You hear it all the time now. Does it take you back to that place?
Oh, yeah. It definitely does.
Every time, doesn't it?
Yeah. because it was so real. It was so real.
How long ago, by the way?
It was probably two years ago. I guess that it was over. But sometimes I wonder if he's heard the song because he would know. He would know it's about him. I mean, I haven't really. He was the hardest. I'd never had a love like that, and also never had a heartbreak like that. So
yeah, well. Hey, you know, I don't think I wish a heartbreak on my worst enemy. Let's be honest. It's the worst feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. But if it gets us songs like that, then thank goodness. Is that a backwards compliment there?
I'm really glad
you had that heartbreak.
I'm actually really glad that I did too.
Comes from your pain. Thank you for that. It's amazing.
It just made me be really vulnerable and write a song that was almost a therapy session for myself, not really thinking that anybody would probably ever hear it. I knew it was special just for me, but I didn't really know that it would connect with so many people. So.
I love
Yay, heartbreak.
Well, hey, I'm excited to watch and see where it goes. Not just it, but every other song that you do from here on out. Mm. And hey, gosh, Carly Pierce in my house.
That's right.
And 5 years from now, it's going to be like, really? Nobody's going to believe me, but I have it on recording.
Perfect.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Studio. Bye.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.